Next, we have our liaison reports. I'll turn this over to Justice Miller.
And you won't believe who's going to give the first report, but it's Judge Herman.
Oh, I'm back.
Reporting on the Superior Court of Monterey County.
Well, last week I had the immense pleasure of visiting the Monterey Superior Court, Judge Anderson's court, as PJ. A fabulous experience. It actually took me back in a lot of ways. First place I lived in California was Pacific Grove, and I was attending the Defense Language Institute way back when. It's always great to go to Monterey County. We all know that it's physical beauty. It's a wonderful coastline, the bay, Carmel, etc. So it was a pleasure from end to end. The morning of my visit in Monterey, I met with Judge Anderson's senior executive staff. And she's got a tremendous approach to her court governance. Her court governance structure is a collaborative structure. So every Tuesday morning, she sits down with her senior executive team, and they plot out what's going on in the court and what's going on for the following week, and also looking far into the future. So it was a real treat for me to participate in this visit with in their internal meeting. And I would like to introduce her staff when I get to my notes in a moment on that. So, Judge Anderson, would you help me out? And, of course, Teresa Risa, your CEO.
Correct. And then our CIO, Deputy Court Executive Officer of Information Technology, is Barb Scoop Dunn's right next to Teresa Risi. Then we have our Deputy Court Executive Officer of Business Services, which is Felipe Novato.
Are you on your cough button?
Let's see. Is that a little bit better?
Yes.
Well, we're sharing it, it appears. And then also Deputy Court Executive Officer of Finance is John Fleischman. He's right there at the end of the table. And our administrative analyst, you cannot see in the photo, but that's Nona Medina. And the APJ is Mark Hood, Judge Mark Hood, who's also outside of the view. We do have collaborative governance. We do not meet just PJ, CEO. We meet with the collaborative, and that's how we do our governance.
And I was tremendously impressed with that process. It's something I'm going to take back to my own court, so it's not just CEO, PJ, and APJ. That's a really good process. And the court across the boards is collaborative. They have a collaborative process in terms of working with staff and with labor that's been very successful in terms of smoothing out the process of the regular negotiations. This is their PowerPoint, except for a couple of photographs that I threw in, so I was very grateful for that and helping me organize this presentation. Snapshot of Monterey County, 16th largest county in California in square miles, 12 cities, two state prisons, which is for them a significant portion of their caseload, which has significant impact on their ability to process their cases. And you can see from there what the population demographics are, 55.4% Latino, Hispanic, et cetera, et cetera. So it's above the state average in terms of Latino, Hispanic population. Unemployment rate significant. It looks like it's about double the state average at 12.2%, and there are significant gang-related problems within the county. In terms of their judicial officer overview, they have a total of 21.2 positions, 19 judge positions, 2.2 commissioner positions, and they're 0.6 down in terms of positions. And there's a spread, of course, of what their judicial experience is, 159 years of experience on their bench, average age of their judicial officers, 57 years. And then they're anticipating retirements within the next couple of years from their bench. Management and employee overview, their total positions are 188.2. Represented positions are set forth in the slide. And I just would remark that they are down at this point about 21% in terms of staffing. So they're having the same struggles that many of us are having with our staff having to do more with less. Facilities is a big issue in Monterey County. I mean, it's a big issue for all of us, but it's a big issue for them and for a couple of particular reasons, which I'll go over. There's the Salinas Courthouse, and in Salinas there's an annex location as well as a probation location. And the annex location is basically a combination of juvenile and collaborative juvenile dependency in the collaborative courts. The probation site is their juvenile delinquency site. And there's the Monterey Courthouse, which is principally their civil location. The Salinas Courthouse is their criminal location. And then there's the Marina Courthouse, and that's a combination of traffic and child support. The Salinas Criminal Courthouse, in the afternoon after we had our morning meeting, I had the opportunity to visit the various courthouses and interface with the staff, and they're just a wonderful staff. Actually, coincidentally, my wife, the Honorable Retired Judge Denise DeBelfe, was sitting as an assigned judge in the Salinas Courthouse, and sort of an additional report, she reported that she just had a wonderful experience with Monterey staff and other Monterey judicial officers. So it was good to have that extra sort of data input in terms of how things are going in Monterey County. This is the courthouse, had a significant asbestos problem. This is the Salinas Courthouse, significant asbestos problem a number of years ago. They had to move out for 6 years while the asbestos problem was abated. It's difficult. None of the elevators work, so all of the judges have to march up and down through stairwells in order to get from one floor to the other. The courtrooms are well equipped, and one of the security problems is that this is where judicial parking is, and folks, if they wanted to, could simply take aim from the fencing that runs around this area where the parking is not secured. They're justifiably proud of their electronic calendars that are throughout all of their courthouses and are centrally operated. It's really a neat system to see, and it changes. It's kind of fun. It's not static. If a calendar moves, you can see the calendar. The case is actually moving around. So it's a very, very progressive system. Monterey, again, that's the civil courthouse. Monterey is a county, is shared with the county. It's a county building. Interestingly enough, the elevators on the court side do not work. So at Monterey Courthouse as well, judges have to walk up and down stairs. But the elevators do work for the county part of the building. So, you know, it's a county deferred maintenance issue, something many of us have experienced in our courthouses. Five judicial officers are doing civil, family law, and probate. There's one courtroom that's at the top of the Monterey facility that has one of the world's most fabulous views. But again, it's a courthouse that has its challenges. The Marina Courthouse, is traffic and child support. It's really a charming building. It doesn't have any elevators either, but it's a one-story building. So continue with facilities. The facilities, by and large, there's major safety deficiencies, particularly with one of the courthouses that I'll talk about in a moment. They've lost critical court services to South Monterey County because of the closing of their Kings County facility, and I've got a slide that sort of shows a map. There's a 60-mile-plus distance between communities in the south of Monterey County and where the courts are concentrated in Salinas and Monterey and in the Marina. So the folks that are living in the south part of the county where there are significant issues and significant gang issues, significant other issues, have to travel an hour and a half in order to have their traffic matters resolved in traffic court in order to come to court if they're litigants or if they're witnesses or otherwise court users. So it is a really significant problem for Monterey County in terms of physical access of the 3D process. Greenfield King City, this is their King's facility. It's unsafe. So it has been closed since sometime in 2014, and accordingly is not used. And so the single access point, physical access point in the South County, is now unusable. The map sort of gives you an idea of how far it is from the south part of the county, where there's a significant concentration of litigation that is generated, to the north part of the county where that litigation is processed. There's significant ADA problems, among others, with the King City facility. The biggest issue for the Monterey Superior Court facilities at this time is the need to service this South County, to service the South County. And they have a critical need project that is stalled at the current point to construct a new courthouse in Greenfield. It's moved forward through the construction committee process, but it's currently on hold, even though they have reduced the cost from $49.9 million down to $29.8 million, reduced the size of the building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's their wish at this time to see what can be done in order to move forward with this project so there can be physical access to court facilities in the south part of the county. The court is very proud of its showcase issues, its data collection efforts, its case management system, which is now in deployment and in collaboration with Napa County and Santa Clara County, its increased self-help presence and service, its restructuring and reorganization of technology, et cetera. It's a very progressive court in terms of its thinking relative to technology and relative to improving services to the litigants and court users. There are challenges, many of the challenges that all of us face. The 1% fund balance issue is extremely has extreme negative impact on the court. Talked about the facilities, much more need for courtrooms. There's little judicial officer safety. All of the judicial officers park in spaces that are available to the public parts of public parking lots. So there's no security as far as judicial parking or juror parking. Personnel down 21.8%, as I mentioned. They see that there are significant opportunities, statewide shared resources and services through e-filing and self-represented litigant support, lessons learned from their Odyssey Court go-live, funding for electronic exchanges at the county level, and further restoration of funding to adequately support appropriate staffing levels based on the JC's WAFM analysis, and sustainable COLA increases for employees to stay competitive. So I'm very much appreciative of my opportunity to visit Monterey County. They're a very generous group with tremendous spirit among both their staff and their judicial officers. So Judge Anderson, thank you so much for the opportunity. And please, if you have anything to add that I may have missed, please feel free to do so.
Just on behalf of the court, thank you very much for your visit. Everyone enjoyed it, and we do have 5 CLEPS awards. So,
no, yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yes, 5 CLEPS awards,
yes.
which is amazing. I know a few courts that are in that stratosphere. So anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Sherman. We'll next hear from Judge Nadler reporting on Superior Courts of Del Norte and Humboldt Counties.
Waiting for this to be teed up, thank you very much. The challenges associated with our great northern counties are very different from those that we experience here. The first challenge, of course, was getting from here to there, and they are really far. So we'll start with Del Norte then. Okay. Thank you. So the courthouse in Del Norte is located in Crescent City, which is the only incorporated city in the county. And Del Norte is located just below the Oregon border. You can see at the very top of this The county just north of that, of course, is Oregon. It's 355 miles from San Francisco, a 6.5-hour car ride from here. Presently, there are no commercial flights into Del Norte, into Crescent City. So to get there, other than driving, one has to fly into Oregon and then drive back down to get to the county. It's a challenge, but it is indeed beautiful. The drive up was a pleasure. The forest, the coast, makes you realize what an incredibly beautiful state we live in. You will not miss elk on the roadway. At some point or the other, you will be driven to pull over and just take a look at them. It's just an amazing experience. This is the primary courthouse in Crescent City. I had a really wonderful visit there with the judges and the CEO. There are two judges. The presiding judge is William Follett, and then the second judge is Darren McElfresh. I was joined by the CEO, Sandra Linderman. The problem that this county has with judges is with assigned judges. Because of its location, it's very difficult to attract assigned judges to serve unless they like to fish. So, I have some people's interest here. So there are a few judges that are retired that love fishing, and they've been going up, and there's some concern that they won't be doing that much longer. They really do have trouble getting assigned judges up here. Because of that, judges sometimes take less vacation than they're entitled to. They take fewer sick days than they should because the workload is such that they can't get help to take care of it. They also, and I'll talk about this in a minute, they're located near Pelican Bay Prison. So in addition to the usual workload, they have a lot of writs, and that requires weekend work and a lot of attention. Again, whether they're on vacation or not, or whether they're sick or not, it does often require them to come in and work when they shouldn't be. The staffing issues right now, 31.25 FTEs authorized. They're down to 24.25, which is about a 22% staff reduction. This is a picture of one of the courtrooms here. This is Judge Follett giving the tour to me. You can see Judge McElfresh in the background and Ms. Linderman over on the left there. The big issue that was expressed by the court was really security issues. And this is really a perfect example. You can see where Judge McElfresh is standing. He's still in his robe. He had just finished calendar. The in-custodies come in from there. They come in past the clerk's desk, the reporter's desk, the lawyer's desks, all cramped into one very, very small area, and it causes them great concern. Sheriff security given, they feel, is not necessarily adequate to protect them. If there's an inmate that comes in from Pelican Bay, typically they come in with a variety of guards, and they feel more secure usually with that. But apart from the Pelican Bay inmates in custodies, they're very concerned about their security issues. And they're concerned about their limited sheriff resources. These are some photographs of the court. The bottom right is the jury assembly room. The bottom left is the second primary courtroom. The upper right is a view of the clerk's office. Very, very nice courtroom. They have one, They have one part-time courtroom across the street, which is located next to the jail. And this is a photograph of that courtroom. There is one restroom in this courthouse, if you call it that. The restroom isn't working. And the inmates here, they call a lot of their in-custody calendars arraignment-type calendars. The inmates will come from the jail, which is the door on the left, through the hallway into the courtroom where the judges are presently standing in the photograph. And it creates, of course, some very serious security issues. Pelican Bay is located in Crescent City. It's a supermax facility, high security, and they get a lot of work from that. So I went to the primary courthouse, and it was easy to get in because there was no security. There were no guards checking me or anybody else for that matter. The sheriffs will transport prisoners, of course, but the sheriffs will not provide deputies to screen. And the court indicates there is no additional money in the court's budget to pay for screening. So the good news is that the council has provided the magnetometer for screening. The bad news is they don't have anyone that can operate it. And it sits right there unused because they just can't find anyone to operate it. The court was very clear about judicial council staff and wanted me to basically give them a shout out. This court, like most smaller courts, medium courts, doesn't have the facilities. They don't have lawyers. They don't have the professional staff to take care of their business. And they indicated how much they rely on judicial council staff for them to survive. And they were very, very pleased with the staff. The examples they gave were the facilities, who they said were very responsive, legal staff that provided an invaluable service to the court. And I appreciate that they wanted me to inform everybody how important that was to them. And last, they are working on a case management system. They're trying to bring themselves into the electronic present. They were going live in November in the system they have, or at least they were supposed to. I guess now it's closer to January, which is a very typical story for many of us. Unfortunately, because of their limited resources, the system they have is going to be very limited. They don't have the money for additional licenses, so therefore there won't be public access to their new site, and they would like to have that. They're using their funds to go web-based, but it will be with very serious limitations in a county that could probably very well use public access because of the distances involved. And that, Chief, is my report in Del Norte. And I'd like to go into Humboldt County this time.
Thank you.
Wait, Tia, thank you very much. While we're waiting for that, again, Humboldt County is another beautiful county. What a pleasure it is driving to these counties. You just see coastline that it's almost like being in a movie. It is just so beautiful. And I was looking at Monterey's pictures, and we just have an amazing state. Humboldt is a little bit different than Del Norte. Again, I went up in June of 2005. Eureka is the county seat of Humboldt. It's 271 miles from San Francisco to Eureka. It's really close. It's about a 5.5-hour car ride. These are just some pictures that I took in Eureka and on the way up to Eureka. It's got 110 miles of coastline, and Humboldt County itself produces 20% of the total volume and 30% of the total value of all forest products produced in California. The court has 7 judges, 1 commissioner. I met many of the judges. I was shown around, and I appreciate and thank the presiding judge, Joyce Heinrichs. Chris Wilson is the APJ of the court. And there was for a bit, I guess the slide says currently without a CEO, but there is a temporary CEO that probably many of you remember. It's Mike Tozzi, who is filling in for the court, helping them in their transition until they find a permanent CEO. There are 21% staff that are the vacancy of staff. What Humboldt indicated was a loss of the institutional knowledge. And they attributed that to the working conditions that were, I guess, unacceptable to those employees that had been around a long time. So it's not just the 21% that they're down, it's the institutional knowledge that left with them. So they have sort of the newer employees that just don't know what happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. They are in line for a new judge if it ever gets funded. And that's important because the courthouse itself has its limitations. Their primary courthouse, really, their only courthouse is located, as I said, in Eureka. It's a mixed-use facility. There are 8 courtrooms in this facility. It's tightly packed. There is no room for expansion, and this county sorely needs the additional judge considering the workload that they have. The court does is to drive, the judges drive to Garberville and Hoopa, which are located within Humboldt County. Once a month, they hear some misdemeanors and infractions. They're provided the space to do that, and they do that to accommodate the citizens of the county. That's because it's about an hour and a half ride for people to get to the courthouse from these areas. They also use county facilities to call the delinquency calendar. Here's the courthouse. We have at the top photo the jury deliberation room, which has a restroom closed due to mold. So it is closed and sealed. And they don't know when it will open again or if it will open again. A small jury assembly room, and again, very cramped courtrooms with very, very poor sight lines within. They have their case management statement system, which is Sustain. They would like to transition to a more modern version of Sustain, but do not have the funds to do so. So they are kind of stuck, at least presently, with what they have. They proudly maintain some court programs. They have a teen court, homeless court, misdemeanor settlement court, pro per calendar, self-help services, and a drug and a mental health court. And they're very proud to continue to operate those courts. Last, there is an opportunity in Humboldt. The County Board of Supervisors recently passed a resolution recognizing the need for expanded courthouse space, the need for more modern courthouse facilities, and they recognized in the resolution the benefit of having the courthouse close to the county offices. And in the resolution, they indicated that they would agree to provide land for courthouse construction if the council and the branch could find a way to do that. The judges were very insistent that this would be something that would be necessary, and if not, it would be a lost opportunity if we could not take advantage of it. It was really fabulous meeting with the judges in Humboldt, and certainly in Del Norte. And Chief and Council, thank you for this opportunity. That concludes my reports today.
Thank you, Judge Nadler. Thank you.
Again, thank you, Judge Herman and Judge Nadler, for your liaison reports.